Welcome back to the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show, your number one source for information on taking care of your pets. Here are your hosts, Rick Pruse and Lee Cohen.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show, and we've been speaking this morning with Patty Strand, who is the president of the National Animal Interest Alliance. And Patty, before the break, you were talking about just the change in how people go about getting dogs and how now it's reached a point where for a lot of these animals, it's coming through the rescue agencies. Pick up where you left off.
Yeah, there are many studies out there that suggest that the number one source of dogs in society today are the shelters and rescues. And with the overall decline in the number of dogs being produced in the United States, these dogs are coming from a lot of other places. Foreign countries, for instance, as I mentioned before the break, many of the dogs that are coming in from foreign countries are going into rescue channels, and they are sold with marketing suggesting that they were removed from an area where, you know, really terrible things were happening to them, or the terrible things were going to happen to them. They were going to be sent to a dog meat meat farm sort of situation. And then also, to be totally frank, and this is, you know, this is my opinion, I have a pretty strong opinion in this area, dogs that would have been euthanized for health and for temperament are now, because there is such a great shortage and because the prices have gone up so much, they are often offered for adoption. We have worked nationally to introduce legislation in a number of places that will require shelters to at least report, disclose to the public known histories of aggression of a particular dog that they have, with animal control agencies whose job is to protect public health and safety. They generally do a good job. I would have to say that most humane societies also do a good job, but a growing number of new shelters and new rescues bring the dogs in rapidly and place them rapidly, and in many cases the problems that the dogs have become part of the marketing, because it's a sad story. You know, there's a sad story. The dog was going to be put to sleep because it bit someone, but it wasn't the dog's fault. Those kinds of stories. Or the dog does have some sort of a continuing health issue that in many cases, we talk to people all the time that have adopted a dog and then they found out that it has a chronic medical condition. And I would say that at the time when there was genuine dog overpopulation in shelters, dogs with serious temperament issues were routinely euthanized, as it should be. If a dog is going to be a threat to a family, it shouldn't be placed with the public again. And I mean, this is just chronic in some areas. It certainly depends on the personality and the ideology of the shelter director or the rescue person. You know, some people have a real heart for dogs, and they just don't believe that any dog for any reason should ever be euthanized. And if you lived in a perfect world, I think we'd all agree with that. But in the world we are forced to live in, these dogs go on to create real heartache for families very often. Well, there was a shelter we were following, made the national news, down in Albuquerque. It's been about 4 years ago now, but they had placed, I believe it was over 100 dogs that were documented to have come into the shelter for serious aggressive behavior, and they were going back into the community and, you know, biting family members and, you know, really just causing heartache. Also, the big heartache is not just the tragedy of the bite, but it is the family that is committed to love this dog and has had the talk with the family before they get it, that this dog is going to be with them for, you know, it's going to be a forever dog, and they find that they can't keep it, and so they wind up you know, really breaking the values that they got the dog for in the first place. So it's just, that's a real problem. And then, you know, to your point, dogs that are well-bred and cared for are going for enormous prices. Our breed has more than, well, I don't know. Among hobby breeders, I don't know that the price has really gone up that much, but I hear stories regularly and enough so that I know that they're credible of my breed being sold for about double what it was sold 4 or 5 years ago.
Right. Well, and that's actually an area where I do have some concern, because I have heard of pretty much several breeds of dogs that are selling for several thousand dollars a piece, and frankly, I have a concern that will we reach a world where people who want to be able to select a breed based on expected behavior and essentially a similarity in lifestyle are all of a sudden unable to do that because they can't afford the price of these animals because supply and demand are just really out of kilter.
Yeah, I worry about that as well. You're talking about purpose-bred dogs, purebreds that have predictable traits that people want. Those dogs are being priced in some cases really out of the marketplace. And, you know, historically we had, our prices were increased, but they were increased incrementally, sort of, you know, in keeping with overall inflation and those kinds of metrics. But today it's just, in many cases, whatever the market will bear. And you are right, people are being priced out of the marketplace. They are, in some cases, but I was going to say in some cases they're settling for dogs that are not of the type they want and are not puppies. They're older dogs that may have some, you know, really great values because they are older and potty trained, or maybe they have behavior problems. Hard to say with an older dog. But the predictability of traits is what people want purebreds for. You always hear that it's a status symbol, blah, blah, blah. But it's really, people want dogs of a particular type because they know what their temperaments are going to be like. They know whether the dog sheds. They know about what its final size and so on is going to be. And those dogs, especially from the imported sources, and we are seeing those dogs come through so-called rescue for thousands of dollars above the marketplace. And in some cases, they're advertised at $5,000 or $6,000 or $7,000 because the cost of shipping them to the United States and the cost of getting them prepared to come to the United States is extraordinary, that sort of thing. But it's also much more expensive to breed and raise dogs today than it was before because the veterinarian costs have also shot up. They've shot up, I don't know if I'd say accordingly, or maybe they've shot up, sort of exponentially too. But yeah, we're all concerned all the time about not only access to well-bred, healthy dogs with predictable types and temperaments, but also to access to good veterinary care. And that is just every day more expensive than it was a very short time ago.
Now, the other question I've got for you, Patty, that I'm very curious about is the restrictions that some municipalities are placing on the ability to breed because of a variety of reasons. Unfortunately, we've only got about a minute for your answer. What is the solution for these municipalities before there's no one allowed to breed a dog?
Well, I wish I knew the answer to that. We have worked in that area for 30 years, and frankly, it just gets crazier and crazier. There's a new bill that was just introduced in California, AB 702, that is going to take, you know, I mentioned earlier that 85% of dogs in the United States are now neutered, and California has a spate of laws already, you know, 2 inches thick if you just put one piece of paper, one law on top of the other. But now they're going to go after everybody. If the law is passed, that has an intact dog and require a special kind of licensing if they ever plan to breed the dog. And then there are all kinds of requirements that most people are never going to be able to meet. So they're basically just getting rid of the remaining few dogs that are purposely and properly bred in the state of California. California, by the way, is one of the states that is swamped by out-of-state and out-of-country dogs being brought into the state. So they will never get rid of shelter dogs because they're bringing them in faster than they can place them.
Well, Patty Strand, we'll have lots to talk about the next time we have you on, but we want to thank you for being on. We've been talking this morning with Patty Strand, the president of the National Animal Interest Alliance, and unfortunately, we are just out of time. So on behalf of our producer, Grant LaFay, and Rick Pruse, my co-host in the studio, this is Lee Cohen wishing all of you a great weekend and a great week ahead. We'll talk next weekend on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. Meantime, will you all please, please take good care of yourself and stay safe, everybody.
Hey, got some ideas for a show? Questions? Maybe suggestions? Just email us, mmpets@1320wils.com, or message us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/mmpets.
Yeah, this is a story of famous dog. But the dog that chases its tail will be busy. These are clapping dogs. Rhythmic dogs.